Yeah, the title of the training today is actually a partial quote that came from Tony Robbins. And it was something I found when I was researching the work I was going to do in Australia, the training sessions. They gave me 6 topics. One of them was goal setting, and I was doing some extra, you know, research on that. And I came across this quote, and I loved it because I'd never seen it before. And a lot of us know who Tony Robbins is. But the concept that people are not lazy, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Tony's wrong. I think there are lazy people in this world. It's a sad thing, but there are people who are lazy in this world. But when he sees people work really hard and they don't achieve their goals, he's looking at them and he's going, it's not that the person is lazy. They simply have impotent goals. And I thought that's such a great word, impotent goals. In other words, they're goals that don't inspire them. And when I saw this quote, as I was doing my research, over a month ago in January, preparing for going to Australia, I just said, what a home run ball. How many people, you know, because I hear so many often that people go, well, I don't set goals anymore because they don't work for me. And I go, wait a minute. First of all, you should never use that language. It's not the goals don't work for you. It's you don't work for your goals. But the intriguing thing to me was, well, what if you're setting goals that just aren't very inspiring? Then, in effect, the goals don't work for you either. You may not work towards a goal, but the goals aren't working for you. So I think it's really important to get the point that we all need to have inspiring goals. We can't have goals set that are boring, that are dry, that are drab, that are just, you know, we really need to look at our goals and they need to inspire us to work. They need to inspire us to be committed, to inspire us to believe, inspire us to move forward and do things that are outside our comfort zone. Because that's the nature of success. Most people driven to success understand that in that drive, on that path, we're going to have to be way outside our comfort zone a lot of the time. So if your whole goal in life is to live inside a comfort zone and feel good every single day about everything you're doing and be comfortable, then I suggest that you're not going to ever fulfill your dreams. But of course, if you just want to be comfortable, maybe that's your dream of just staying comfortable. I don't know. But most people I've met, when I've talked about their comfort zone, there's nothing comfortable about their comfort zone. It's just kind of a dead end. So the idea is, how do I get those goals, the dreams in my life to come true, no matter what they are, no matter when I had them? Because some people have lost dreams. They've quit dreaming because they tried, quote-unquote, so hard, but they've never achieved it, so they just kind of gave up on their dreams. Well, stop it. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what you're doing today. It doesn't matter what constraints are in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how fat you are, skinny you are, how disabled you are, how not disabled you are. None of these things ever rob you of achieving your dreams. The only thing that robs you of achieving your dreams is giving up on your dreams. Now, that robs you of your dreams. So the idea is that let's go out there and start driving ourselves, but we have to look at the core principle here that goals are not just something that you go through a formality of setting. They have to be something that's truly a part of you and they inspire you. So it's time to set inspiring goals. So it's no longer do we just go through a goal-setting exercise, but we want to make sure they are inspiring us. They in each of us is inherently different. We're all made differently, so we need to make sure that we acknowledge that in our process of setting goals. Okay, so first of all, why do we set goals in the first place? Well, you know, when I was down in Australia, I kept telling people, I said, well, you know, besides the fact that every single book ever written on success, every book I've ever read that has to do with success always talks about having written goals. So besides the fact that every single book on success has told us we need written goals, why is it that we're not writing our goals down, right? Well, we need to have goals because goals are critically important. And in Australia, I do the connection with the Sydney to Hobart race. Does anyone on this call know what that is? The Sydney to Hobart race is a race that's done. It starts in Sydney Harbor, and it's all these sailboats that get out, and it's a race, the first boat to get to Hobart, which is on the southern end of Australia. So they race from Sydney to Hobart. So they're out in the ocean waters, but they start in the harbor of Sydney, and it's one of the most beautiful scenes. I was there 31 years ago. Is it 31 years ago? Something like that. Incredible. That was the last time I was in Sydney before this trip. 31 years ago, I was there over the holidays, Christmas holidays, and it's the day after Christmas. It's called Boxing Day, and that's when they have the Sydney. It starts in the Sydney Harbor. It's the most beautiful visual sight with all these beautiful colored spinnakers on these sailboats, and they exit Sydney Harbor, and it's awesome. But the question becomes this. What if you, if I don't know how many of you are sailors, but if you understand this concept, I was telling people in Australia, I said, what if you're in a sailboat and you had no rudder? Where would your sailboat go? It's kind of like goals in our life. If you pull the rudder out of the boat, that what happens is the wind controls the boat. Not you, but the wind. You have no directional capacity with your boat. So you just flutter, and no matter where the wind goes, that's where your boat goes. Your boat, the wind is, so it's just you're blown from to and fro, and there's no directional to it. That's exactly the same thing that happens in your life without goals. You have no directional. Because you can't get somewhere if you don't know where you're going. You can't, you follow? You'll just be fluctuating and floating in the breeze. So it's critically important that all of us have goals. And goals take a level of what? They take a level of discipline to formulate them and discipline to go after them. And I love Roan's quote when he said, we all must suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces. Regret weighs tons. So we can live in a world of woulda, coulda, shoulda, which is all garbage language because it deals with past, or we can deal with commitment and discipline ourselves to do the things it takes to create great results in our lives. And that's what it's about with goals. We want to be disciplined to formulate them, and we want to discipline to achieve them. Now, first thing I want you to do is look at the goals that you may have. Some of you haven't set goals this year yet. I don't know why, probably because of disbelief. You're stuck. They haven't worked in the past. You have all these excuses or reasons why not. And I'm going to suggest throw those all aside and start a new slate today because it's a great day to set goals. Every day is a great day to set goals if you don't have them because it's the first step in the right direction to achieve incredible results in your life. So it's a great day to set goals if you don't have them. So review why you don't have any and dismiss those negative thoughts because they're robbing you of creating what you want in your life. So make sure that we get written goals and start working on them today. The first day of the rest of your life is today. So get yourself on a correct path today. No more excuses. Start today. And Manatech is a new day. We have incredible things happening on the forefront. We've got youth that's exploding, a lot of people's businesses who choose to make help it explode their businesses. We got our 20th anniversary coming up. We have additional products coming out this year. We have a lot of new things on that are breaking, new systems, new websites. It's just going to be super to see all the things that are coming in the next 6 to 8 months in Manatech. And what a joy it is to watch this company go into that next generation that we're aiming towards. And it's all about us saying, I'm all in. So we need to say, new day in Manatech, for me a new day, what am I going to create? What is my new commitment to what's going to happen in my business? So we all need to be directional with what we're going to create. And I've also put in the outline today Earl Nightingale's quote that says, success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. So we know that success is always defined by goals, always defined, and our goals define the direction we go. So critical for us to have goals and goals that inspire us, not just goals, but goals that inspire us. How do we build inspiring goals? Well, the next point is really crucial. We need to set goals. We need to set them not in a vacuum. In other words, we don't just sit down and start writing goals. Because if you just sit down and start writing goals, you're going to be cast in a position where you're setting goals that aren't effective for you because they don't match up to who you are. Each and every one of us on this call today, each and every one of us in this world, no two people are alike. So we're all unique. We are all different. We all are unique within ourselves. We have unique values. We have unique interests. We have unique directionals in life. We have unique relationships in our lives with our spiritual connections. We all are made unique. So we have to recognize that. So in that uniqueness, we have to first find what is our uniqueness that is critically important so that it's in alignment with the goals that we set. And values is the top item that we must examine. Because I always look at people, I remember a gal joined my organization years back, and she was a missionary. And as a missionary, I sat down with her, and, you know, in the past we used to talk about goals by saying, okay, what would we do if we had $5 million, right? If you had $5 million, what would you do? You know, if you had $5 million after tax, what year would your life look like? How would it change your life? Well, how would you live your life? What would it look like? And people start doing that, and so I would ask this friend of mine who's a missionary that joined my business. I said, so what would your life, what would you? And she looked at me and she said, well, Mary Jo, I'd love to have a house, a little house on the beach in like Maui, one of the Hawaiian islands, where I could just smell the ocean air coming through my windows, and I'd wake up in the morning and walk on the beach. I could smell that salt water. I could see the humpback whales out there, you know, at certain times of the year. And she just had this incredible vision of this, what she would have in her life. And I looked at her. I'll never forget this, because I looked at her. And I said, that's great. And then we started writing goals about it. But later on, it didn't come up at first, but later on, it became really evident that her goals based on that vision for her life was a failure for her. And why was that? Anyone figure that out? Well, I'll share with you rather than get you guys off mute. Because she's a missionary. And most people who have given their life to Christ in such a fashion would have a very hard time going out there and taking $2.5 million and investing it in a house on the beach of Maui because they wanted to smell the ocean breeze. So, and I'm not saying right or wrong, understand that some of you can have that goal and it works perfectly for you, and that's fine. There isn't a right or wrong here. It's just for this lady in my organization to allow her to set a goal about something that she would feel guilty about and she would never do made her goals totally uninspiring to her, because she knew inherently this vision she had set for herself was totally inconsistent with her drive in life. She could never spend that money. Even if she was worth $100 million, she couldn't put $2.5 million in a house on Maui, because it would just be, what else could she do with that money? And I relate to that somewhat, because I remember having, my husband was so excited about getting me a new car, and we got this new Lexus that was one of these sport, you know, these special Lexus, this little sport car with the roof goes into the trunk. And I remember after the first year of driving it, it was very uncomfortable for me to even drive it, because it was so, it's such an expensive car, and it just was inconsistent with my values. And then when I went in after the first year and they said, well, your wheels, which my husband demanded I get because they were top high performance wheels, like I could care less about high performance wheels. He said, well, you've got to replace your wheels because these high-performance wheels only last about 12,000 miles. And I said, what do you mean I've got to replace the wheels? Well, yeah. And I said, well, how much is that going to cost? And they said, $5,000, like per wheel. And I looked at the guy and said, here's your car. And I walked away. I just gave up the car. I didn't want it anymore. We had leased it, but I just didn't want it anymore. There was not a way I could even invest $5,000 in a wheel. I couldn't justify that because it was so inconsistent with my values. I didn't value the car. I didn't value that material possession. So you get it, what happens to us when we get stuck in those inconsistencies, it's not inspiring to us. So we must examine the values that we have in life first before we set our goals, because if our goals tend to be inconsistent with our values, we'll never, ever achieve them. So what I tell people to do is I go through a value exercise, and that's determined because most people don't know. If I sat down today and I said to all of you on the call, what are your top three most important values? When I ask that question to people, 99% of people can't tell me. Or they give me some gobbledygook that's just a whole, you know, like collage of values in one. And I go, no, distinctly three goals. And most goals are only one word, so you can't give me three words. You can't group them together because in your brain they all work together, because that's not proper. It's not a one goal. It's not a one value. I mean, so we need to look at what are our values that we really have. What are your core values? What are the most important values you have in your life? So going through a value exercise is really crucial, and I'm going to walk you through that today just as an example. in, you know, it's a powerful exercise, and it's easier done in person than it is over a telephone and a conference call, but I'll give you the directionals for it. But when you decide to go through a value exercise, please set aside like an hour of time, because it takes it's a struggle. It's a major struggle in our lives, because the reason you can't come up with the three most important or five most important goals in your life right now in this moment is, number one, we're not familiar with a list of goal values. I mean, three most important values. We're not familiar with values, because values don't tend to be what hits the news every day. Our news, we're bombarded with information every single day, every single moment, and most of it's not value-oriented. We get all this thrown in our face, and most of it's like, you know, when I went to Australia, it wasn't different. It didn't matter what country I went to. It was always like the same patterning. So we're no different than Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. It's always the same stuff that hits the paper, hits the news, always. So we get bombarded with things that show lack of value, not values. So how do I determine what my three or five most important ones? Well, the first step that you do is you got to choose, like, try to choose top 10 values in your life. That's a very difficult thing. I've attached to the outline today a list of 300 and some values, right? So everybody has that list because it's part of the outline, 374 values. So your first step in this exercise, step one, is that you go through all these values and you start highlighting the ones that really hit you. When you read them, they're really important to you. When you get done with your first, and I tell you to use a highlighter. So when you get done with that, you'll go back and you'll look and you'll say, and that doesn't mean just highlight 10 of them. Highlight the ones that really are important to you. And what will happen to you, you'll read them out loud and you just go through them and you'll highlight and you'll get to the end and you might have highlighted 30 or 40 that were really important, that really struck you as important. When you read the word, it had a very deep meaning to you, a deep and important meaning to you. So now you're down to 30, okay? Now you got to go back a second time with that 30, and you got to start paring them down. So maybe you reread the 30, okay, that you've highlighted, and then start crossing off ones that, as you focus on them, tend not to have the same level of importance as some of the other ones. So you could even take the 30 and put them in an outline form of 1 through 30, but that's hard to do with 30 of them. So I suggest you just kind of go through and find out which ones you have least emotional response to, least emotional response, and start deleting those off the list. And now maybe you get down to 20, and then you got to pare it down to 15, and then you finally get it down to 10. That exercise in of itself can take 20-some minutes. Just to do that easily. Some of you might that take a whole hour to do. But start with that by highlighting the ones that have most emotional response to through the list of 300. And if you want more, there's you could just Google value list on the internet and you can find value lists that are far greater than this. But I'm suggesting that tackling this at this level is a lot. Those are a lot of values to review. So you find out from that list, you will find out ones that are really critically important to you. Now you get down to 10. So now you take those 10 values, and now what I want you to do is here's step two. So, okay, so step one is to go through that list, highlight ones emotionally, then start paring it down, and working on it, massaging it till you find the 10 most important to you. Now from the 10 most important to you, the step two is that you will put them in order of importance. So if you thought step one was hard to do, wait till you try to do step two. Order of importance. So the most important value in your life will become value number one. And then two and three and four and five. Now I'm going to suggest to everybody one of the values that I don't want you to put down on your list is something called faith. It's down here as a value. But the problem with faith or you walk with the Lord is this. In this value exercise, it's not going to serve you as well, because it's not that God's not number one in your life like he is in mine, but the importance is that my faith reflects a whole flurry of values, right? Because that's what faith is. it reflects a whole flurry of values. So it's going to just confuse me in isolating my most important core values. So you can start with the concept of faith is most important in my life, but in doing my value exercise, that just underlies who I am. That's an accepted. Now let me find my 10 most important core values. Because otherwise you'll add confusion to this, okay? So watch out for that word faith. Don't use it as a core value, even though we know it's a core value for you. It's who you are. But we're trying to isolate for you in your goal-setting experience, what are your most important core values? Acknowledging that faith is critical, all right? So then work through the top 10. What are the top 10? Number 1, 2, 3, and order them 1 through 10. That exercise can also take a number of minutes because it's a struggle. It's hard sometimes to say, oh, how can I say this one's more important than this one? So you've got to, and it's the struggle that creates the result for you. So if you aren't struggling, I'm suggesting you're not doing this value exercise right because it's the struggle that gets you there. So fall in love with the struggle. Now, once you've organized them 1 through 10, I'm going to have you, that step 3 then becomes, take your top 5 core values. So you set aside 6 through 10. Put them, each one of them on a note card. In fact, you should put your top 10, sorry. Take your top 10, put each one of them, number them. So number 1, and they each go on separate 3x5 note cards all by themselves. So number 1 is whatever it is, that goes on a note card. Number 2 goes on a note card. So you have 10 note cards now that have 1 through 10 with your top 10 core values. So you've chosen them, you've put them in order 1 through 10, you've put them on individual note cards listing 1 through 10, so there's 10 note cards. Now you take the note cards 6 through 10, set those aside, and you take your cards 1 through 5. And now this exercise will take you 25 minutes approximately. And you sit in a chair with your top 5 cards, values, and you take your first value, you focus on it. And you can have a notebook sitting by you because you need this to help you, a notebook sitting by you, and you write down your first core value in that notebook, and you take that core value, number 1, that note card, and you read it, you focus exclusively on that value, and you drop it to the floor. And you just focus on that experience of that. And you could take notes in your notepad, and you give that 4 to 5 minutes of time journaling on the experience of that value and then dropping it to the floor. And when you're done with that 4 to 5 minutes, you take your second value, number 2, and you drop that one. Focus on that exclusively and drop that one to the floor. And spend 4 to 5 minutes focusing on that. And you repeat this process with each one of the top 5 goals. Top 5 values. Each one of them gets 4 to 5 minutes dropping on the floor, exclusive focus on that value, and journaling on what your experience is around it. And when you're done with that process, you might have a box of Kleenex around because some people cry through this, some people have pain through it, everybody responds differently because we're all made differently, uniquely. Your next step in the process is to now decide, did I list my values in the right order or do I need to reshuffle some of the numbers? Some of you might even drop out of your top 5 and look at your 6 through 10 and pull some of those in. And you might redo the dropping to the floor exercise again with your new top 5. Whatever that is for you, it's a unique experience. Each person has a unique response to it. But you do that in the process of discovering your top most important core values in your life. And from that, now you have a beginning point. Now you're ready to move forward with the rest of your process to set your goals. Because now you have clarity in your life, maybe for the first time. For me, when I did this exercise over 10 years ago, it was pretty amazing to me because I had no idea what my top core values were. I knew I valued a lot of things in life, but no one had ever had me focus on what were my most important core values. But the benefit that it gave me when I determined that my number one core value in life was contribution, when that came out as my number one core value, for me, Mary Jo, every one of us is different. That was my number one core value. And I knew my number two was trust, my number three was commitment. Those were my top three core values for me. The beautiful thing that it did for me is it allowed me then to set my goals properly and move on in my life in a significant way. It also gave me a directional that whenever anything came in my life, whenever anyone proposed me to do certain things or said, Mary Jo, I got this deal going on or I got this business opportunity or I have this, whatever it was that somebody brought into my life, I could always look at it from a perspective of, is this consistent with my core values? And you know what? If it wasn't, I dismissed it immediately. So even though it enticed me intellectually or it enticed me from a joyful, or some of the things that were important to me in my life, just, you know, being out there and taking risk taker. I've always been a massive risk taker. Even though it might have caught my attention on seven other arenas, if it didn't fit consistent with my core values, my basic core values, I was able to dismiss it without putting another thought into it. Because you and I, every one of us have distractions in our life, and the beautiful nature of having core values so well outlined is that we can be consistent with our core values. It's one of the reasons why in November when they called me up and said, Mary Jo, we want you to go to Australia, we're inviting you, the GM, Mandy, and she said, we want you to come out here and do our tour for us, our training tour in February. And my immediate response was, oh, my gosh, how am I going to give up that time? Because Hawaii was the first week with presidentials and then 2 weeks out. I went into confusion about how was this going to happen. But after I wrote back to her, I said, let me think about this. Let me pray about it. And I got off the phone and I started spending time around it and just focusing. And I looked and said, Mary Jo, but your core value is contribution. What a gigantic contribution you can make to these people in Australia and New Zealand and Singapore. And that's really what you're about. So it really was consistent. So it was easy for me to get back and say, this is what I want to do, and feel totally confident and comfortable with it. You follow me? So decisions in your life become easier because you now base everything based on those core values. And that's what's so cool about this. But today we're talking about it from a perspective of making sure the goals that you're setting in your life are consistent with your core values. Because if they're inconsistent, you're never going to accomplish them. They're not going to be inspiring to you because they're out of alignment with who you are. And once you get your values down, the next step is your vision, finding your vision. Your why must come through them. Your why and your vision is going to be now consistent with the values because you have your core foundational values. And now your vision, and in the outline today I wrote down, you know, there's a lot of vision exercises out there. We see them everywhere. Some of the things, four questions or exercises many people use in this discovery process is just, if you received $3 million or $5 million after tax, what would you do with it? Kind of like what I did with my missionary until we did something that was totally inconsistent with her values, which we forgot to do values first. Because if vision isn't based on values, vision won't work for you either. Nothing will work for you. Just like if goals aren't based on your vision, which isn't based on your values, you're not going to have inspiring goals. So all of these things are predecessors to good goals is values and vision. So you must get the vision straight, okay? If you were given 1 year to live, what would you do with it? What do you enjoy so much in life that you do without getting paid? These are good questions to ask to find out what your vision is. Build your ideal day. We always talk about ideal day, and that's nothing more than building a vision for you. Dream boards come from the visions we have in our life, right? But how many of us build superficial dream boards where you put this beautiful house, you know, 24,000 square foot house on your dream board? In reality, your values are totally inconsistent with that. So why would you do it? Is it going to really inspire you? Probably not. Those are the kind of things that we have to recognize. We want to make sure that in order to inspire us that they're consistent with our values, with our vision, and both of those have to be done first. So you can see, and the vision exercise isn't the easy one either. It's not your why or your vision is not something easy. It's not something that happens in 5 seconds. So when you're working with other people in Manatech, new people you bring on board, make sure they spend a lot of time with this, and it's really something substantive to them, to their identity, to who they are as a person, that it's not just some fly in the, but you know, you don't race through this with somebody. Make sure they spend time and really dig deep. And then from the vision comes what? After vision comes, now you've got values, vision, and I put a chart attached to the outline that kind of gives you that whole direction. It starts with values, then it goes into vision, then it goes into goals. Now we can set goals for strategic direction that's consistently going to get you towards your vision in life, which is substantively in alignment with your values. Now you've got it inspiring. Now you're setting inspiring goals. And if you do it this way, you're going to create an incredible difference in your life. And remember that goals are not enough either. We're going to go through setting goals in a second. They're not enough either because we need to have a plan of action. Failure to plan is a plan to fail, right? So we need to have a plan of action, a strategic plan. And then we also need to have what? A plan isn't good enough either without action. So you need daily action trackers. You need daily action steps you're going to take. So you got the action steps that support you achieving what? Or comply with your business plan. So you got a plan of action and you take action, both of which will render your goals fulfilled, which you have to be in alignment with your values and vision. And all of that chart really helps you develop for yourself inspiring goals so it's consistent. Now in drafting, and I love this too, Jim Rohn's quote I put in the outline, success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying basic fundamentals. So it's about us being consistent in our approach. That's why we have a plan, and that's why we have daily action trackers, so we're consistent. That's why all of this is what makes networking work. But it also makes everything else work in our life. If you apply this in your life with anything, it'll make it work. When we don't work it, then it won't work. But we need to have the pathway outlined for us. And for those of us that don't like structure in our lives, it's a fight. We're fighting against ourselves to build this, but it's critically important for us to do this because it's the consistent behavior that forms who we are in life. And we can't be consistent if we don't have a plan and we don't have action that complements the plan. All right, so clear. Hopefully this helps everybody to formulate inspiring goals and understand the critical importance of this alignment that must take place in our life to create exactly what we want to create in our life. And there's never too late a time for us to do this or us to go through this exercise because whenever you choose into it, that's when you're going to start the first day of the rest of your life. Otherwise, you're just going to continue being a meandering generality instead of a meaningful specific, which is how I look at life for a lot of people. We're our meandering generalities, when we really totally want to be all in being a meaningful specific in the results we create. The path to goals working for you are, of course, rules for goals that I always tell everybody is all your goals have to start with I. They have to be personal, but they have to start with I so that you are totally accountable for the goals you set. If you don't start with I, you're putting it off accountability on it. Number two, they need to be written. Why do they have to be written goals? Because otherwise goals change every day for you if they're not in writing. You need to see them. They need to stay there. They need to be specific. They need to be written so that they're there, that you know what they are. They're not waffling away. That doesn't mean that 6 months into it you can't go and amend your goals if you choose to, but it's in writing. Written goals work. Unwritten goals do not because your mental state changes them as you move along. Number three, you want multiple categories. I always tell people because you want to be a balanced human being. Don't just set goals on what you're going to create in Manatech. Have goals for your own personal growth. What are you going to do differently to support your health? What about educational? What about spiritual? What about income? All these things need to play a role in your life. So pick, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 categories of goals and put 2 to 3 in each of the categories. All your goals need to be written in present tense. If you put I will be, future tense, it puts it out in the future so you don't have any immediacy about it in your life. There's nothing you'd commit to today to create the goal to come true because the goal's out in the future somewhere. It's just how our mental state works. This is a playing with your mental state. If I say I am presidential director on or before December 31st, 2014, I am presidential director. What does that do for your mental state when you read that every day, your goals? I am presidential director. You are today. You start stepping into being presidential director today, even though you may not get to that number by the end of the year, but you are presidential. It's immediate. It's present tense. It's in the immediate happening to you today. And personally written. Why do I say personally written? Because you can't write somebody else's goals for them. It doesn't work. Some people in Mantic, they love to say, okay, here's your first month goals. You want to get the regional director in your first month. Here's your... When you do that for somebody else, it doesn't work. Now, Mantic may suggest that we have a great first month story. So my suggestion to you is that when you meet with your brand new business builder, you go, let's make a first great month story. That's a goal I like to set with people. But I tell them what it is and why they need a great month, first month. What would it work for you if you had a great first month story? How would that work? Number one, you'd be all in, totally committed to creating better results as you move forward because it works for you, and you're already achieving great success. Number two, you'd be able to attract more people because now you have a great first month story to share with other people. So these are the reasons you want a first great month story, but they have to choose into it. If they're going to find their first four business partners in their first month of doing this business, they got to say, I'm totally all in. That's my goal. You can't tell them that's their goal. But tell them the reasons why having a first great month story really pays off in this business. And then if they choose it, that's great. If they don't, that's great too, whatever they choose. But they need to choose their goals. You cannot set goals for other people. It won't work. Your goals all must be SMART. We know that: specific, measurable, attainable, risky, and time-bound. All of these classifications have to be met. So they have to be specific, they have to be measurable, they have to be attainable, and you want to go through that. You want to work with people. When you have people that you're working with, let's say you've already set your goals for yourself, when you're working with brand new people, you've got to be able to review their goals and make sure they meet all these qualifications or they won't work for the people. Don't allow people to be sloppy in writing their goals down because that they won't carry them out or they'll carry out sloppy. So make sure they're specific, measurable, attainable, risky, time-bound. All these are SMART. And then what do you want to do with your goals? You want to make sure that you're sharing them with somebody. You're sharing them with upline, coach, mentor. Why? Because you want somebody in your life. You want to be able to be proud of your goals. You want to stick them out there. You want to make yourself accountable for them. When you tell your husband that you're going to be in Punta Cana with him in December this year, that helps because all of a sudden you have accountability now. If you don't win the trip, you've just blown him out of the water because he's taken time off work to be in Punta Cana with you. It puts a little bit more pressure on you to make sure that you, what? Make sure the goal comes true. And you work harder towards that goal because now somebody's depending on you achieving that goal. So it's really important for us to get somebody that we're accountable to. We want to share them with people that love us. We want to share them with people that will be accountability partners, mentors with us, somebody that will be an encourager with us. Share your goals. Don't keep them all to yourself. Find somebody you can share them with, whether it's upline, crossline, spouses, friends, people you know that will be good accountability partners. That's what you want to make sure happens. Because through that accountability, that's just going to give you more momentum to make sure the goals come true. So that's all I had for today, people. I just gave you a lot of materials attached. I hope they help you. It's just a fun thing to do, all these exercises of setting goals that are inspiring. I know that we talk about goal setting in December. It's one of my favorite topics for the month of December, but I know that a lot of people's goals aren't working for them. And I always tell people, if your goals aren't working for you, it's you not working for the goals. Goals always work. But I want to take a step backwards on that statement now and tell you that inspiring goals always work. Because goals set in a vacuum will never work for you. So it's important to do this background work with yourself to really outline what inspires you. What values do you have individually that will be absolutely all in when you draft the goals you draft. In other words, they'll be totally in alignment with the values you have and the vision you have for your life, and now all of a sudden you'll have remarkable goals that'll work for you because you can see how they inspire you in alignment with vision and values, right? Okay, anyone, any questions? Do I have anyone in the field? Any questions we have? Is everybody clear on the value exercise? I've never trained it over a phone, but this is a first for me.
Mary Jo, what's the purpose of throwing the cards on the floor?
Well, think about it. For every person, it's a little different, but most of the time when you take a card and you put up first, you put that core value on the card. And the minute you drop it to the floor, it's like you've lost it, right? You become separated from it. And it makes you dig deep about what if that value wasn't in your life.
Okay?
Okay. And that's when some people cry, some people... I had one gal who I did this. I used to do these exercises in my Pathway to Presidential class, and I had one gal that got up and left. She was so miserable. She just was crying, and she was angry, and it just drove her a lot of feelings flushed out. And that's good. That's what we want to grapple with. When something has that kind of power over us, we sure want to understand it. You don't want to keep it hidden. So a lot of times when you go through that exercise, you're going to find out that if you have no emotional reaction to dropping one of those core values to the floor, then maybe it's not really a core value of yours. It just looked good on a piece of paper, but you really don't have an emotional attachment to it. So find one which really does relate to you. For me, my experience around it, when I dropped the word contribution to the floor, because I had a lot of words up there. I had love, we had family, we had all this, you know, a lot of stuff is important to us, right? When I dropped that word contribution to the floor, it was like the meaning of life left me. For me, I felt no purpose for even existence. That was like a big hole in my life. So I knew right away that even though it might have been ranked number 5 and my first paring down my list, it catapulted it up to number 1. So that's how I realigned my numbers, because I lost any purpose of being. So, make sense?
Yes.
It's a great exercise.
Sorry, I had already muted back on it.
Yeah. No, that's okay. It's a great exercise. It's a great, great exercise.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Anyone else? Great, great. All right, people. Have a great week this week. Go out there and make things happen. Make sure you get your goals in alignment with your values and vision. If you haven't done that, that's a great exercise for you to do. And just, make, you know, my goal for everybody is to see you have inspiring goals so that you're really driven instead of, you can be driven by people getting hypey. You can be driven by people, come on, cheerleaders and all that kind of stuff. But none of that will work if there's not alignment with who you are. And I think that perhaps that's one of the big things we miss out on in setting goals, is that we're not assured that they're in alignment with who we are as human beings, because we're all different, and we all need to understand that. And then from that basic core understanding of ourselves, a better understanding of ourselves, what's most crucial in our lives, then we can, from that point, truly draft some incredible goals that drive us. And you'll see the remarkable difference when you go through that exercise. And when you have inspiring goals, there's nothing that'll stop you now. Nothing. Okay? All right, people, have a great week, and we'll be in touch again next week. And don't forget all the manifests and all the updates, and hopefully I can see some of you at this event, the Association of Network Marketing Professionals Conference coming up at the last weekend in March. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.